"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, KFI's final keyword of the day is coming up in about 15 minutes on the John and Ken Show. And as we just told you, John got recognition from one listener who said she likes that he reads the keyword twice.
One.
What?
One listener.
You know. Some people lean in and really want to win that money, so take them seriously.
That's the one in a million.
The one in a million. All right. We'll be talking about Dippity-Doo in a moment in one of these classic El Segundo stories about...
That story.
How he has to lean in during his second term because of the, quote, narrative out there by the Republican networks and Republican politicians. The narrative. It's the truth, but we'll get to that in a moment. It struck me that I heard the term, because I always pick it up on the new lingo, rent burdened.
I haven't heard that one.
You enjoyed Food Insecure.
Yes, I have not heard rent burdened.
Rent burdened means that rent is taking up more than 30% of your income.
Well,
you are therefore considered rent. I think the old rule used to be 20-25% you should be paying in rent or mortgage, something like that.
What did people do when there weren't all these victimization descriptions?
Because the employers are exploiting.
Can you imagine? Did you ever hear a term like that? If you couldn't afford the rent or mortgage, you had to move to a cheaper place. I don't understand. Everybody thinks they got a God-given right to a certain type of house or apartment that they can afford. No, you don't. It's not the way a market economy works. You got to go to a cheaper place then.
The term rent burden would probably only come from a job action of academics. It's one of the bigger stories today in California. 48,000 unionized academic workers, UAW, across UC's 10 campuses have walked off the job. And one of them used the term rent burdened, which I guess has a real meaning. These are teaching assistants, postdoctoral scholars, graduate student researchers, tutors, and fellows. Oh, John, you and I enjoy when we see a fellow.
I want to be a fellow someday.
They claim that they are underpaid vastly. We can provide a couple of examples to give you an idea. They are demanding significant pay increases, child care subsidies, enhanced health care for dependents, longer family leave, public transit passes. That's a good one. And lower tuition costs for the international scholars amongst their group. Their current average pay is $24,000 a year. So they...
Well, yeah, and many of them got advanced degrees. I mean, postdoctoral scholars. Yeah. So they got a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate, and they get to work for $24,000 a year. We talked about this the other day. You can't go and get worthless degrees and then stamp your feet and cry.
I didn't think of these necessarily, though, as permanent jobs. I thought these were more transitional things that people take this work while they're pursuing maybe another degree.
While they're pursuing another degree. Eventually.
They take on these tasks. So I thought, you know, this is like working at a fast food place. You move on from this. So don't get worked up for a couple of years that you're only getting paid $30,000. Now, they think it should be $54,000 base salary. And right now, a UC is not coming to the table on that number. UC believes its offers are generous, responsive to union priorities, and recognize the many valuable contributions of these employees. They've offered a salary increase of 7% the first year, 3% each subsequent year. But workers say that's not...
They want to go from 24 to 54.
You're not going to get that with 7%.
Which is more than 100%. Yeah. So, they're far apart. Well, the UC system, like a lot of universities, it's so ridiculous. They have so many nonsense administrators. I mean, I've heard they've got like there's a thing
that's
like
just that. Like a lot of school districts.
They have like an administrator for every teacher, some ridiculous ratio like that. Yeah, and they don't do anything. All my kids went to colleges. Even in their high school, they said there were these administrators with offices, and they had mystery jobs, and they walked around the hallways, and nobody knew what they did, and they had some weird title. Oh, and when the diversity obsession started, right? The diversity, equity, and inclusion crowd.
That provided a whole new.
There's a lot of offices filled with people who have nothing to do. Because what are you gonna do with a job like that or a degree like that?
So here are some of their stories. We'll see what you think. Jamie Mondello is a 27-year-old psychology graduate student worker. I should stop right there, right? Psychology graduate student worker at UCLA and a member of the union. She makes about $37,000 a year as a fellow, and is planning to add a teaching assistantship next quarter to help supplement her income. She was out on the picket line, 48,000 strong. We can fight all day long. Lavana Knott is a third-year graduate student in the geography department.
Well, what do you do with a geography degree?
And a student researcher makes $24,000 a year from her job. She has a second job that gives her $2,000 as a on-campus grader for teaching assistants who don't speak English as their first language.
Wait a second. An on-campus grader for teaching assistants.
Who don't speak English as their first language.
Wait.
So she's kind of their interpreter?
She's a teaching assistant. Wait, she grades papers for teaching assistants who don't speak English?
Yes.
Well, who are
these? These are the international students. Yes.
Well...
So they must be involved in classes where they give out exams, but they don't speak English. So,
well, this is nonsense.
She comes
work.
And helps them understand.
I mean,
she called her income poverty level wages.
Wait a second.
She claims 92% of graduate students are rent burdened.
The teaching assistants are so bad at English that they can't grade papers.
Maybe they don't feel that they would be.
They can't read English.
Yeah, they wanted someone to help them to make sure that they get the students' answers right and don't misinterpret something.
Do you see the absurdity of the system? Why are you hiring teaching assistants who can't read English? And then you do hire them, and you need to hire an extra person to grade the papers.
Well, let's say they're really good tech people that might come from, I'll just pick a country, India. So they're very good at what they do, but the language themselves sometimes, and they're trying to understand the students' answers is not.
You have to read English. That's a deal breaker.
Apparently not at UC.
It's like a pilot. A pilot has to know how to fly an airplane. Not have an excuse as to why he can't quite fly an airplane. You have to fly it, and if you're working as a teaching assistant, you got to grade the papers in English.
So they want to get $54,000 a year, and as I mentioned, their average now is $24,000. So that would be a pretty big increase.
One of these people said she knows of parents who are struggling because the child care subsidies that UC provides aren't enough to send their kids to child care on UC campuses. Well, let's see. You spent a lot of money on college, probably took out big loans. You had heavy payments. And then you have children while you're working at these low wage college jobs. You have kids. Mm. And then you complain that the child's subsidies aren't enough for you. Well, you're the one who had the kids. You were supposed to work at a job where you could subsidize your own child care. What is this? Who are these people?
Jessie Altieri, 27 years old. She's a student researcher, employed year-round, but only makes 35 grand. She works 40 hours a week doing cancer and biology research, but she does live in university-owned housing, so she doesn't have the housing burden. But she still finds it difficult. It's subsidized, but not subsidized enough.
We teach the majority of classes. We grade more papers than any faculty member. Yeah, this is the evil thing in college. The professors often don't teach very much.
They don't. They slough off a lot of stuff, right?
So
that's one of the perks of being a full professor.
Right. What do the professors do all day? We know a lot of the administrators are
walking around doing that. They're supposed to be writing papers and doing research and getting the college academic recognition.
No, I thought they're supposed to be educating students. You see, the whole system is off kilter.
Yeah.
The primary job ought to be you're educating kids. If you don't want to, you can go somewhere else. But because they won't educate the kids, they have to get teaching assistants. Then they get teaching assistants who can't read English. So the teaching assistant needs an assistant to grade the papers. Well, now you have three people instead of one because you won't ask anybody to do the basics of their job. Your job is to educate people. If you're a teaching assistant, your job is to be able to read in English. Well, of course there isn't enough money for all this.
All right, when we come back, the Times did another, I wouldn't exactly call it a tongue bath, but it's close. It's a slobber fest about how Gavin Newsom feels pressure in his second term to show results for California. You see, out there in Fox News land and other conservative news outlets, California is used as the punching bag because of our homelessness, crime problems, all the things that we know are real. Gavin Newsom wants to change that viewpoint. He wants to do something about it.
This is a weird story.
As he's positioned, he thinks California as the prototype for the country to follow. It's hard to believe, but that's apparently where he's at.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. You'll get the last keyword of the day. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, as you said, it was a particular lead story in the El Segundo Times. Well, you know, Gavin Newsom's reelection was easily won and quickly called. What kind of story can we write about Gavin Newsom's continuing as California governor? Well, the headline is Newsom feels pressure to show results for California in the second term, which implies there were no results in the first term.
Well, doesn't it? There weren't any.
There weren't any, but people like to think of him as some sort of big leader who's the future of the party. It's hard to believe. You talk about an empty suit. We've been through this for too long, but this guy's like the epitome of the empty suit.
Well,
all show and style, no substance.
And it's awfully contradictory in this story. I'm trying to sort this out. He says he feels pressure to contradict the Fox narrative.
The narrative, yeah.
And calls the Republican Party, here's this for a little catchy phrase, surround sound anger industry. All right. However, later on in the story, he says...
By the way, there's something important to point out there, because what he likes to say with that term is that none of the things that they say is true. Or they take something very small, one little nugget, and they blow it up into this surround sound to make you angry. Right? All they're doing is exaggerating everything that goes on in California in order to work up their audience. You know where I heard that before? I've heard people say that about you. And I said, tell me something that we're talking about that isn't true. Oh, no. John just says things to get people riled. And they're not true, the things he says? Well, I never get challenged on that.
No, they're true.
Of course.
But it makes people...
But they're like, well, then why is he so angry? Well, people should be more worked up.
You should be angry. See, it makes people uncomfortable.
It does.
When you confront people with something that's right, but it's something that they don't want to do the work to fix... Then it's a game. They turn it around and bat it back to you. Why are you so angry? Well, my anger is not the point. Why are you not fixing this problem? See, be careful of people who do that. Why are you so angry? No, no. Why did you do this? Why didn't you fix this? Why shouldn't a person be angry? Hey, if I've got a homeless encampment in front of my kid's school, what am I supposed to be? Happy? Delighted? I've asked politely for you to fix it, and for 4 years you haven't fixed it. Now, when I point that out, hey, for 4 years you've let this homeless encampment grow really big. Oh, you're angry. Yes, I am. I'm a NIMBY, and I'm angry, and I've got 27 people in front of my kid's school who are homeless, who are defecating and urinating and child molesting and all the other stuff, using drugs and injecting themselves. This is, this is this game of where they play ping pong with you. They don't say, you're right, we're going to fix that and then fix it. It's like, well, you're just a NIMBY. Well, you're just angry. Well, you're just Fox News. Well, what? It's the most incoherent set of responses. And you know what it is? They're dodging the responsibility. They don't want to do it for whatever reason, whether it's their own weirdo political cult they belong to, or maybe they're just lazy.
Well, don't kid yourself. This crowd really believes, Newsom and his minions, that California is the prototype for the nation. Having been here and reported on what's happened to this state in the last 10 or 15 years, we can tell you, God, we hope not. So Newsom likes to say this, well, they're coming for California. It's not exaggerated. They do not succeed unless we fail. He loves to come up with sentences like that. They do not succeed unless we fail. Well, whatever they talk about is not like it's not true.
No, you see.
You are failing.
That's changing the subject. It's changing the subject and analyzing what television pundits are saying. That's not the problem. The problem, again, is the homeless encampment in front of my kid's school. And he veers off to talk about Fox News. It's irrelevant.
Well, that's right. This is the famous gaslighting.
Yes.
Making people think that what they can see with their own eyes and hear with their own ears isn't happening by telling them things like, that's just Fox News' portrayal of us. That's not really who we are or our values.
And look at the
way they exaggerate everything over there.
Look at the way this story is written. Newsom shuffled to the right politically on homelessness by creating Care Court, right?
Shuffled to the right.
Yeah, and that's sending the homeless people with mental illness into a court-ordered treatment.
Which hasn't happened yet, but yeah.
What is this shuffling to the right? Isn't that the normal, obvious thing to do, regardless of your political beliefs, is you have...
No, see, now you hit upon it. Everything is politics.
No, no.
That's right.
It's mentally...
There are no longer any logical middle solutions. Things that just make sense to people. Common sense, people used to call it. No. If you want to do anything with the homeless that isn't about building more housing, then you're shuffling to the right.
Yeah, right. You have a mentally ill person who walks without pants into a Long Beach diner. Now, to say, wow, that guy's in a lot of trouble here mentally. Let's take him to a clinic. You're shuffling to the right, aren't you? It's like, no, there's a guy in the diner who, we heard this story last hour, who walked up to a kid's birthday party and he's got no pants on. Oh, where'd you get that, Fox News? No, see him there? Look, he's there. He's there. His junk is dangling right in front of those little kids. The kids are screaming. Oh. You're just a NIMBY. Now, listen to this quote. He says later in this story, people need to see results and they deserve it. I hear the critics loudly and they're not wrong about a lot of things. What? Hold on. On page one, he said that it's just exaggerated. And this is just the right-wing surround sound anger industry. We have to contradict the narrative. And then he goes, well, I hear them loudly and they're not wrong about a lot of things. Well, what are those lot of things that we're not wrong about? And why did it take you 4 years to come to that? Oh, I know. You're running for president. And sure somebody... was. Told you and got through that thick wooden skull. It's like, hey, Gavin, you run for president. there's going to be commercials 24 hours a day showing San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Man, you were mayor there, now you're governor there. They're going to highlight all of the problems those cities have.
Listen to this quote from this Dana Williamson, Newsom's incoming executive secretary. I think the second term is always kind of about implementing. Well, why wasn't there implementing in the first term? That was 4 years.
That's what I said. It made it sound like he's done nothing his first 4 years. He's the incoming executive secretary.
What
the hell position is that?
People need to see results and they deserve it.
Do you see the next paragraph? Newsom says he doesn't believe people understand the way in which his administration has begun to address California's deeply rooted challenges of poverty, homelessness, and housing affordability. People don't understand. And the next paragraph is about all the money he spent on social programs. Well,
it didn't work.
You know what? When that budget deficit or surplus disappears, and it's going too soon, you're going to regret setting up all of these expensive programs that can't be paid for. And what will they do? They'll raise taxes again. We've already got the highest taxes. See the loop that we get stuck in with people like this?
It's crazy. He admits he did nothing the first 4 years. In fact, they're looking for the only reason they're looking for accomplishments is he's running for president. If for some reason he was satisfied with the end of his political career in 4 years, he wouldn't be working on anything. Because he didn't work on anything the first 4 years except shutting down schools and shutting down businesses. That's all he did.
And by the way,
Mr. Shutdown.
He's proud, it says here, that California is soon going to become the world's fourth largest economy. Well, wait a minute. That's thanks to the tech people. It's not thanks to Sacramento.
No.
And the state is incredibly unbalanced. There's way too much poverty. There's no middle class. And prices and taxes are way out of the reach of a lot of people.
Well,
so just because some billionaires are holding things up with the tech end doesn't mean you get to brag about the state's economy.
He brags about them expanding funding for Medi-Cal. Well, the reason they're expanding and spending so much money is we have an enormous amount of poor people. There's no point in having the fourth largest economy if you have millions and millions of poor people. What are you bragging about? The wealth is all tied up in a very narrow sliver. And he knows this because he complains about all this. He also taxes them to the extreme. Yeah.
All right, we got more coming up. It is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Maybe I'm insane. Maybe I just went insane. John and Ken.
She giggles.
Oh, sure. Laugh. Laugh as
maybe?
I...
Maybe?
Just happened, yeah. Well, we're going to spend a few minutes now talking about one of the big financial explosions of the last week, and that's what's happening to the company known as FTX.
Oh, I love this story.
If you're not familiar, it's a cryptocurrency exchange. It's built by traders for everyone. They buy and sell your popular cryptocurrency products, whatever they are out there. So I guess they're kind of a middleman, is a way to put it, in the cryptocurrency world.
Yeah. Yeah. You could give them regular cash and say, I want to buy some Bitcoin or I want to buy some Ethereum or, you know, or you want to sell some.
Right.
And, you know, there's hundreds of these cryptos.
Well, they were founded in 2019, just a few years old. The CEO was a man by the name of Sam Bankman-Fried. And, the problem with the company right now is that they've had a severe, severe meltdown to the tune of billions. The latest figure I have is it's a $16 billion implosion. And now there are reports that $2 billion in customer funds are missing. Now, Bankman-Fried has been spotted over the weekend in the Bahamas.
Well, that's where his company was located.
Yeah.
They set up the company in the Bahamas because there are no laws there. And
now, he told Reuters he would be in the Caribbean. FTX is headquartered in the Caribbean. You're right.
He's a weirdo, okay? It said he grew up on the Stanford campus because his parents were two Stanford professors. And he grew up next to some kind of, next door was a vegan fraternity, which used to have nude Halloween parties.
Oh.
That was in one report. And he's a math genius, but he supposedly has very poor social skills. And he bought a $30 million penthouse apartment in the Bahamas, where he and 10 other coworkers all live together.
And Is he using crypto to buy things? Or
he's using the money from the company. Whatever he's paid himself or whatever he's invested in these various he was considered like the face of crypto, okay?
And yeah, he's this curly-haired, goofy-looking guy. But now they're saying that $10 billion of the money from FTX was funneled into a company called Alameda Research, which is run by his girlfriend.
There you go.
Caroline Ellison.
And apparently he set up the account at FTX with a secret back door that he could loop money from and it not show up for anybody who is trying to analyze their financial system.
Some are calling him the Madoff of this generation.
Yeah, he might be. Listen to this, though. The 10 people that he lived with, they called it a polycule, like a molecule.
Oh, yeah.
A polycule. It is people who all are sleeping with each other sexually. A polyamorous relationship with multiple people. Because, I read another story which said, listed some of the people that he lived and worked with, and he said all these people have been involved with each other sexually. And I'm looking, and it's like, it's a couple of women, there's several guys there. It's like, well, what's going on? Second story I read is, it was like a big swinging operation there. All the men and all the women were all sleeping with each other, whether they were male or female. So this is what he was doing in the Bahamas. And he secretly took a couple of billion dollars out. And he was sending money to his girlfriend's sister company. Well,
there's a report that he was the second biggest donor to the Democratic Party last year. Yeah. But according to one researcher, he's not about politics. He was trying to virtue signaling to hide what he was really up to. Political contributions to the Democratic Party and all of his philanthropy was about making himself look good and buying protection.
He was part of a movement called effective altruism, which it's a form of socialism where he wanted to get wealthy people to give away all their money for climate change, social justice, equity, banning meat, all this stuff, except he was siphoning off the money and using it for his weird sex cult in the Bahamas. It was all a front. He was a fake. He was getting all this social justice warrior approval from all these groups. He used that to raise money for his various business ventures. And then he had this weird affectation. You know, he'd walk around with the bushy hair, pair of shorts, a hoodie, and sneakers, and he'd show up at business conferences with guys in suits.
Well, he's really in trouble because he sent out a series of tweets last week while these reports of bankruptcy were looming, telling his customers that everything's fine, your assets are safe. Then he later deleted those tweets, but that'll get you in trouble. Authorities have to show that he intended to mislead customers when he wrote those tweets. Intent can be hard to prove. However, this could be part of the pile of evidence against this guy, along with these reports that he's been funneling money to other people's ventures.
It's rumored that he wanted to go to Dubai because there's no extradition laws
there.
Back to America. So the Bahamian officials are keeping a watch on him and his polycule. You know, Forbes and Fortune magazine put him on the cover. Fortune magazine's headline was, "The Next Warren Buffett."
Oh.
But Buffett said that the whole cryptocurrency field draws in a lot of charlatans.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's just a pyramid scheme.
And he says it will come to a bad end. Now, he got Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen to do commercials, Larry David to do commercials.
And he got a lot of sports celebrities, yes.
Yeah. And he was donating to all kinds of really cool Democratic social justice warrior causes. He had the whole woke crowd behind him. And he was a complete fraud. He was this generation's Bernie Madoff is what he was. But people fall for it.
Yeah, people fell for it. Well, it looked like it was the next new thing. I mean, they've been all over the place. But they've been sponsoring some sports groups, some sports teams, and
But I've talked to a number of people. There's a few people I'm acquainted with who got into crypto, and I would say, well, what can we do with it? And they'd go into the. I've got a friend who worked in the crypto industry for a while, and I just kept, you know, and I would hit him with like 3-4 questions, and you'd kind of get lost in all this jargon. But he never explained, like, how does a normal person use crypto? Like, what's its purpose? It just exists as something, right? And there's an arbitrary value on it that seems to rise and fall like crazy. But what is it? Why does it have any value? Just because you say so? Just because there's some other idiot willing to buy it?
That's kind of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that Michael Lewis, one of our favorite authors, embedded himself?
Oh,
with the company, he's going to write a book. He's not an investor in FTX, but he's been working for months, 6 months. He's been embedded with the former CEO, this Sam Bankman-Fried, to reportedly write a book about the rise and fall.
Yeah, well, that's going to be one of his classic books, I bet.
Yeah.
Because this guy is a complete phony, complete fraud.
Steph Curry, Tom Brady, and Brady's ex-wife, Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah.
Have also been linked to the company. I know they did commercials, but I don't know whether or not they have money invested
what. They've got some kind of stake in the company.
A stake.
Brady and his ex-wife, yeah. They had a stake in the company.
Oh.
So everybody's
yeah, you're right. Curry was made a global ambassador for FTX. Oh. The Golden State Warriors announced today that they are ceasing any affiliation with FTX.
They had the naming rights to the Miami Heat Arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know if you noticed during the World Series, all the umpires were wearing FTX on their uniforms.
No, I did not see that.
They had a pouch on their chest. No. FTX. I remember looking at that, and it's like, what's the FTX here? And that's what it was.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
We're going to be giving away 4 packs of tickets to Disneyland. Magic is holidays at the Disneyland Resort, and KFI wants to send you to experience the festive joy you've been dreaming about. Magic is Sleeping Beauty's winter castle covered in festive lights. It's Disney Festival of Holidays, Disney's Viva Navidad Street Party. And both tickets and park reservations are required. This is going on now through January 8th. Visit Disneyland.com for important details. And the offerings are subject to capacity restrictions and change without notice. You could win right here on KFI AM 640.
All right. We told you earlier in the show that the witness on the stand in the Harvey Weinstein trial is none other, starting today, than Jennifer Newsom, Gavin Newsom's wife. The testimony didn't begin until early this afternoon, and she started off by breaking down in tears and talking about she had to identify Weinstein in the courtroom. And apparently she's gone into some vivid details about the alleged rape that Weinstein committed. We'll have more on this as we gather more information tomorrow, and what we're really, I have to say it, waiting to see is the cross-examination from this Weinstein lawyer. His name is Mark Worksman. And in the opening statement, he made it pretty clear he was coming after Jennifer Newsom by calling her a bimbo.
Celebrity is going to have a big impact on the jury. If he can discredit her, that could decide the case.
There were 4 accusers, but she's the most well-known.
Right. So people are going to be very sympathetic to her.
Yes.
And he knows
again,
this.
They're going to claim that she sent an email when Gavin Newsom got involved in his scandal involving an affair he had, and she was asking Weinstein for advice on how to deal with the media crush. They're going to be like, he sexually attacked you and you write to him asking for advice?
You know what? It's funny. There's a whole bunch of writers who are trying to spin away that question, I notice, and nobody really can in a convincing way. You're supposed to just accept that this happens. Well, that's what happens sometimes. It's like
I have read that there is a strange sort of mental process that women go through that's difficult, and they can act in ways that don't seem rational from the trauma of the attack or something like that, right?
I know, but doesn't it seem like if you were sexually attacked by somebody, you wouldn't be asking them for advice on anything?
It would seem that to us.
I mean,
yes.
But I'm a guy, so what do I know? But you know,
I think Worksman's hoping 1 or 2 jurors. gets through to them.
I'm not saying it invalidates her story, but it's just not, it just doesn't make sense. You know, things need to make sense to a common person when you're running a trial. And constantly just trying to do a reverse spin, I think leaves most people staring.
Yeah. This happened over the weekend, which is, I don't know how many people remember, in 2004, Steven Spielberg made a film called The Terminal, and it did star Tom Hanks, about a guy who lived at the airport. Remember that story?
Yeah, I do.
That was inspired by a real person, and his name was Mehran Karimi Nasseri, and he has lived at Charles de Gaulle Airport, just outside of Paris, for 18 years. There really was a person that lived in an airport. Well, he died. He apparently had a heart attack in the airport's Terminal 2F around midday. They tried to save him. There's a photo of him. It does look like an airport homeless encampment. He's got a little cart in front of him. He's got his belongings behind the red couch he's sitting in, like one of those little lounge areas at the airport.
He had lost some kind of paperwork that would allow him to emigrate.
Now, the real person behind the fictional story lived in the Paris Airport's Terminal 1 from 1988 until 2006, because this guy's lived in this airport for 18 years, but that would be the Tom Hanks movie is about 18 years ago. But yeah, you're right. Says here he became a celebrity of sorts, sleeping on a red plastic bench, making friends with airport workers. He would shower in the staff facilities, read magazines. He told the Associated Press years ago, "Eventually I will leave the airport, but I'm still waiting for a passport or a transit visa." That doesn't seem even likely or possible. Was born in Iran. He left Iran to study in England in 1974. He was imprisoned when he returned home for protesting against the Shah. He was expelled without a passport. He applied for asylum, was granted it in Belgium, but the refugee certificate was stolen at a Paris train station. He was then arrested by French police and faced deportation, but lacked official documents. And he was sent to Charles de Gaulle in August 1988, and he stayed there.
And because of European immigration laws, they got strict, and he had nowhere to go, and he couldn't go back to Iran, and he couldn't go anywhere else.
Right, so he was stuck in this kind of,
and I guess he had no money because
limbo.
He needed some kind of a lawyer. All right, we've got Tim Conway.
Ding dong, let's roll, let's go. Jay Leno got burned over the weekend. That's bad news, right?
Yeah.
Fire
in one of his cars.
I guess so. Yeah, that's why I don't have a hobby that deals with combustible engines, right? Yeah, like at the track, you never get burned like that.
That's right.
Yeah,
you could.
I got to convince him to stop with the cars.
Stop with the cars.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, Amazon's laying off a bunch of people. That's no good. And one person was killed in a traffic accident. PCH and Canaan Dune. If you're familiar with that area. People come racing down Canaan Dune, and they can't make that left or right on PCH, and they smash right into that mountain. And, man, it happens like every couple weeks somebody gets an accident there. Horrible.
They come racing.
They come down to Canaan Dune, and then you got to make a left or right on PCH, and if you don't, you go right into a mountain. Man, they fly right through that intersection.
A mountain, or wouldn't they go
to the
ocean?
A little hill.
There.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Right, and then
all
bang.
Right.
Yeah, it's over. And then we have Jennifer Aniston's dad passed away, John Aniston. He was an actor from Days of Our Lives. He was 89 years old. Black Panther sequel earned the second biggest debut of 2022.
All right.
Have you seen it? Are you going to look at it?
Huh?
Have you seen that?
Maybe someday.
Yeah, good for you. What about you, Ken? You get out. Did you see it?
No, I did not see it. It's just opened. I don't.
Yes.
I don't line up with mobs, so I will see it eventually.
All right.
I do not know.
And the Rams are done, right?
They are.
Yeah, it's over.
They are done. I will continue to attend because I'm a season ticket holder and a fan.
You paid for the ticket, so.
It is grim. Yes, it is very grim.
It is. And now Cooper Kupp's hurt. It's just, it's not going in the right direction. But look, but you would have, I mean, look, I would have sold out the future for a Super Bowl win any day.
Yeah, you
exactly
got it.
The point I've been making.
Might be 30 years before the next
Fine.
One.
Fine. So at least they got one.
You know? There was one dopey guy sitting there in his 49er jersey.
Oh, man.
Who got up near the end of the game and started taunting the Ram fans. And it's like, why are you here? Your team is playing a game tonight hundreds of miles away. Get out of here.
Right.
Just to do that.
We own you.
And by
but
the way,
we got the Super Bowl. You do not.
I don't know if you read.
Not current history.
Right. But L.A. fans don't warm up to that kind of crap. You know,
they don't.
They will fight you and kick the crap out of you.
They'll kill you in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. They'll knock you out.
Smash you over the head, right.
Yeah.
All right, Conway next.
All right, let's go.
Ding dong.
Michael Kirchner is the news. KFI. All right. KSDHD2. Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.